Like I said, I'm going to talk fast, so you're going to have to listen fast. Basically, this morning, we're going to continue what we've been talking about in the Sermon on the Mount. And what Jesus was doing in the Sermon on the Mount, as you know, Satan came here to earth, brought sin into this world, so that he may steal, kill, and destroy. What Jesus said that he came to do was to bring abundant life, so people have an opportunity to live a life where they're not necessarily in bondage to sin and all the other things that Satan would push us into, but instead to live an abundant life, a life that is better than what we would otherwise have. So if you have your Bibles, we're going to be in Matthew chapter 6 in verse 19 is where we're going to begin. And we're just going to take a look at it. And church, let me just urge you with all that I have to really listen to the words that Jesus would speak to your heart this morning. I believe that God wants to do something in this body. And ultimately, here would be the result. Your life would be better. If you could really grasp the message, the entire message of the Sermon on the Mount, and begin to bring your life into obedience with that, I believe that your life would be better. It would be better. You would have an abundant life instead of chasing after things which may or may not seem important to you now. You have an opportunity to chase after kingdom things that Jesus would say would make your life abundant, okay? As Jesus began the entire sermon on the Sermon on the Mount, he opened it up with a statement. Kind of as he began to teach this whole thing, he said, "Repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand." And basically, here's kind of the idea that man was, you know, sinful mankind were fallen, sin came into the world, and as a result, there is brokenness. Many of you have asked the question in your life, why do bad things happen to good people? And the answer is because sin came into the world, and Satan is here, and he is actively working, seeking whom he may devour. He is trying to steal, kill, and destroy. And Jesus comes with this really, really big announcement. He's about to give the Sermon on the Mount. He said, "Repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand." That there's a new paradigm coming. There's something new that's coming where no longer do you have to live in bondage to sin and all these other things, but instead you can live in the kingdom of God. And at the time, for many reasons, people were very interested to hear what Jesus had to say. As a matter of fact, if you read in the scriptures, you will see that all of Jerusalem was kind of interested. It says they were deeply troubled. So was King Herod at the time to hear what is this about Jesus coming on the scene? What's happening? And so as Jesus begins, you know, the Sermon on the Mount, he begins to kind of overturn some expectations. And the kingdom of God didn't come, and it didn't look exactly like the first century people thought it would look. It didn't come like the Jews thought it would look. It was something different. And for you and I, we bring kind of some preconceived ideas to the table about what God should do, about what success is, about what the kingdom should be for us, about what an abundant life would be. But let me just urge you this morning to listen to the words of Jesus. He was the Son of God who came here in flesh and gave his life that you might enter into this abundant life. So listen to the words that he would have to say about it this morning. Let's begin in chapter 6, verse 19. He said this, "Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal. But store up for yourselves treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust destroys and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." Here's basically what Jesus is saying. Rather than, I mean, every one of us, we're going to have to go to work. We're going to have to get a job. The scriptures would affirm that you need to work hard, that you need to provide for your family. But you can kind of do that with one of two things in mind. You can put all of your treasure in the storeroom of this earth, which means you go to work and you make as much money as you can so you can buy yourself as many comforts, as many possessions, as nice of a house, as cool of cars, or nice clothes, or whatever it may be for you that would say, this is, you know, comfort, this is what I want. You can spend your life working toward that end, and ultimately, one day when you pass, moth and rust will destroy those things and you'll be done enjoying them. Or you can begin to work and begin going to work every single day. And rather than working and investing your life, trying to buy a whole lot of possessions, you can begin to store for yourself treasures in the storeroom of heaven. Let me just put it to you this way. A couple of trips that I've had an opportunity to go on the past several years. The first one, I had an opportunity to go to Puerto Vallarta. So this is kind of the resort city. If you've ever been there, there are several resorts that kind of line the ocean there. And I got to go with my family. So you get off the plane, you jump in a taxi or whatever, and they take us to this resort. And I walk in the front doors, and I'm absolutely in awe. And I'm not great with descriptive terms. My wife asked me, "What does this girl look like?" I'm like, brown hair and this tall. I don't know. I can't describe well, but this resort was absolutely amazing to me. I walk in the front door, and as I kind of, you can look through kind of the back open area of this main foyer in the resort. And there's like the beautiful blue water of the ocean, and I'm overlooking this huge fountain. I look all around and there's like landscaping. It's just unbelievable. It was just a beautiful picture. As we walked in and we're checking in, there's a lady trying to serve us champagne, which my mom wouldn't let us drink, and all kinds of stuff there, right? I go to my room, there's towel art on the bed, there's all the little lotions and the things that they give you there. Change into my swim trunks. We head down to the beach. I'm laying out on this chair on the beach that someone else brought there. There's an umbrella for me, and they're coming by to bring me as many drinks as I want. Buffets all day, every day, all sorts of restaurants. I mean, basically, it was like the greatest experience of my life. You know, you just get to sit out and just enjoy all that's there. The sights are just breathtaking. The waves, just all incredible week of my life. I didn't even want to go home. I just wanted to stay, you know. Hey, let's just move in here and I'll enjoy this. Everywhere I turned, there was someone just wanting to wait on me and take care of me. That was one trip. Trip I just went on recently, I got an opportunity to go to Haiti. Got off the plane there, got through customs, and the first thing are some guys trying to take off with my bags because they want me to tip them to carry them. I'm like, no, I don't want you to do that because I'm tight and I'll carry my own bag. And we jump on a bus, and it kind of hits you as you drive past, you know, I mean, just thousands of these tents that have been erected for people whose homes were destroyed in the earthquake, and they're living in horrible conditions. And as you breathe in, the stench kind of fills your nostrils. It's kind of like a burning plastic and sewage and smog all mixed into one, and it never leaves you the entire time you're there. We roll up to the place where we were going to stay, and there wasn't like a big, nice, comfortable bed for us. There was a 12 by 12 tent in a tropical area. It's 95 degrees and a cot for me to sleep on. I put a couple of sheets on it, dealt with it, slept in it, but it was less than ideal. We went out every single day. We had to walk about, I don't know, half a mile probably to our work site every day, and I hauled concrete blocks trying to work with guys that I couldn't speak their language. The work was hot. The sun was just beating down on you. We had no shade. We could only work till about 3 o'clock every day. We'd go back and lay down in our hot tents and try to sleep at night. And to be honest with you, it was a good week. I mean, I enjoyed it, but I couldn't wait to come back home. My question for you, when you evaluate whether you're storing up for yourself treasures here on this earth or in heaven, would you say that your life is more like a vacation, where you're here on this earth and you've come to this place and you're enjoying all the sights and the sound? It's kind of a leisurely thing for you, and you're just taking in the best of all of what our society has to offer. And so you surround yourself with all kinds of comforts. You want the best of this and the best of that. You deny yourself nothing because you're here as a vacationer. As a matter of fact, most people around you are here to serve you. Would you say that your life is more like a vacation? Or is it like a mission trip? With rather than going on it for leisure and to serve and just to enjoy, you're there to serve other people. And rather than investing your money and trying to surround yourself with all the best comforts, instead you choose to endure some pretty tough conditions. Some harsh stuff that doesn't necessarily sit well with you. You eat foods that you're not necessarily sure about. Would you say that your life is more like a vacation? Or is it like a mission trip? Here's the thing. In the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus, who is the Son of God, who is the one who spoke everything you see into existence, he comes and he's inviting people into the kingdom of God. And he's saying, this is the kingdom of God. And you don't see it with your eyes. You don't just think, hey, I tell you what, I would rather live a life where I sacrifice a few things and invest in God's kingdom than have a really, really nice home and all these things. But the truth of it is the Son of God, Jesus Christ, in his word, which he gave to us as his revelation to us, he said, you want to be a part of the kingdom of God? Don't store up for yourself treasures on the earth. Don't live your life as a vacation. Live your life as a mission trip, for that life is abundant. Let's read on. The first thing, kind of contrast that he draws are two storerooms. One is earthly, one is heavenly. The second that he draws are two types of perspectives. And in verse 22, I got it wrong in the first service too. In verse 22, he says, the eye is the lamp of the body. So then if your eye is clear, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light that is in you is darkness, how great is that darkness? Basically, what the image that he's drawing here is that the eye is a lamp, and the eye is what lights the entire body. If you have a healthy perspective, like having a healthy eye, then you see correctly, you see clearly. It fills your entire life with light. As my son has his sleeping struggles at night, I think I know my own house pretty well. I'm convinced that I know the way to his room, but over and over and over and over, I run into something or step on something that convinces me otherwise, right? I just wish I would have turned on the light. For many people, you go through life and you're trying your best. You think you know the correct way, but the truth is because your perspective is wrong, you're really wandering around in darkness. And you hit obstacle after obstacle after obstacle, and you're saying, what is wrong with my life? The truth of it is Jesus is giving you a clear perspective of what the kingdom of God really is. And if you want to enjoy the benefits and the abundant life that is offered to us as a part of the kingdom of God, then don't store up for yourself treasures here on this earth. But instead, invest in the kingdom of heaven. Basically, it's like this. We're on this earth for about 70, 80 years. You might live to be older and maybe a little shorter time for you. But in the span of eternity, your life here on this earth is just a very, very short time. Very short. And again, you can live it as a mission trip where you're investing and giving, knowing that there's some place better for you to go home to. Or you can try to surround yourself with all the comforts because you believe that this earth is better than what you'll experience. Jesus in Matthew chapter 13 tells us about the kingdom of God. He says the kingdom of God is like a man who was walking through a field and he finds an incredible treasure there. He kind of hides it again. He goes back and sells everything he has in order to purchase the field, knowing that the treasure that he found in that field was worth far more than everything that he owned. And for you to come to a place to where in your life you believe that Jesus and his kingdom, they are worth far more than anything you own. That's a tough place to reach. It doesn't just happen. It really happens by what Jesus says. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. If you want to really begin to enjoy the kingdom, have your heart wrapped up in Jesus and his kingdom as opposed to wrapped up in the things of this world, as Brian spoke about last week, you need to begin to transfer your treasure. And rather than investing all that you have for your own comfort, for your own enjoyment, your own pleasure, you begin to transfer some of that treasure. Instead of keeping it for you, you invest it in the kingdom of God because the scriptures say that your heart is going to follow your treasure. Where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. So the first thing we saw are a contrast here is two storerooms. The second thing that you saw are two perspectives. The third thing that I want you to see here in the text that Jesus would have us see are two masters. He closes it out. He says, no one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, he will be devoted to one and despise the other, for you cannot serve God and wealth. What happens to us in this society? Many of us, we like the idea of Jesus. I mean, we really do. We hate the idea of hell. We hate the idea of spending eternity there. We like the idea of a savior. We all know that we're sinners. I mean, if you live in this world and you think you're perfect, you're unique, okay? Most of us are really, we understand our sin quite well. We love the idea of Jesus and we love the idea that he would forgive us, but we hate the idea that something would begin to change in our lives, that he would ask us to give things up, he would ask us to begin to think differently. We don't like that so much about Jesus. In the scriptures, you don't find Jesus saying, tell you what, if you'll believe this about me, then you're going to be good to go. If you will just kind of pray this prayer, walk down an aisle in front of a church and start kind of doing some things to placate me, then all is going to be good for you. What Jesus did in the Bible is he invited people to follow him. And the understanding here is that the way of this world, it goes a way that is contrary to the way Jesus would have you go. If the world would say go south, then Jesus is going north. Jesus, as he opened the Sermon on the Mount, he said, repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. The word repent kind of has as its essence the way of saying, turn around, stop doing what you're doing and start going another direction. Jesus says, repent, for the kingdom of God is here. Stop going the way that you're going and begin to follow me. There was a rich man one time. who came to Jesus. He says, what do I need to do to inherit eternal life? I need some salvation, you know, not really liking my life, or I'm kind of concerned about the future. What do I need to do to get in the club? And so they go through everything they needed to believe, you know, love God with all your heart, soul, mind, strength, neighbors, yourself. He said, oh yeah, I've done all those things. I kept all the commandments. I'm good. What else is there? And Jesus understanding the kingdom of God is not something that we kind of manifest outwardly where we, you know, pay this right amount of money, show up to church this much, and keep all these laws. The kingdom of God is something that your heart is invested and engaged in. He sees that the man's heart is wicked, and he says, go sell everything you have, give it to the poor, and then come follow me. There is a profound difference between following Jesus and believing in Jesus. And so many of us with our lives, we believe in him. And much like the Pharisees, we'll even kind of do a lot of the right things, right? The Pharisees, Jesus said, that, and many of these people he was speaking to were Jewish here. He said to them, you tithe of your mint, your dill, and your cumin, you know, and you should. They're giving off the little bitty spices, you know, cutting portions of leaves off to be faithful in their tithes. And yet Jesus would say to them, do not store up for yourself treasures here on earth, but instead store them up in heaven. These Jewish people who were very faithful to give, who could recite much of the Old Testament, these people who were faithful to go into worship in the temple and offer their sacrifices, Jesus is saying, it's not enough, because the one thing that the law cannot do is ever engage the heart. It can't change a man from the inside. And what Jesus wants is for people, rather than to give their little bitty tithe to the church or to his kingdom or whatever it may be, but instead they give him their entire life. And rather than saying, tell you what, just kind of be in with me, you give a little bit and you help out, he says, I want to be your Lord. And when Jesus is your Lord, then your entire life and all that you have, including your wealth and your possessions, are given to serving your Lord, are given to serving your master. But if wealth is your master, then your entire life and all that you are and all that you have are given to serving that. As a matter of fact, you'll probably pray prayers asking God to bless your businesses and your ideas and your family and to keep everybody healthy and all these things. And essentially, Jesus becomes the slave of your wealth as much as you are. My question is your life a vacation where you're here to enjoy and just ask God to give you more so you can enjoy it more? Or is your life like a mission trip? Because Jesus, in the Sermon on the Mount, he is inviting you to experience the kingdom of God. He's inviting you to experience an abundant life that is far greater than anything you'll ever experience just kind of going your own way. For many of us in this room this morning, and this is something I've been discussing with my wife since I've been studying to preach on this, we need to repent. We need to make a change in our life. We need to turn from going the direction we've been going. And rather than investing our treasure and heaping up for ourselves treasure here on earth, we need to begin to invest it in God's kingdom. The rich young ruler was a guy who Scripture tells us that when Jesus said, sell everything you have, give it to the poor, it says he went away sad. Because he really believed that what he had was greater than what he could have gotten. He really believed that all of his wealth and all of his possessions were greater than the kingdom of God. He was on a vacation. He didn't want to go home because he thought this was better. There's a guy named Paul whose life was radically changed by the gospel. He was a guy who was kind of an up-and-comer, trained in the kind of the best school, under the best professors. He was, you know, kind of getting some notoriety, a brilliant guy who had an opportunity to make a lot of money. Jesus kind of comes into his life, changes him, radically changes him, and he begins to live his life as a missionary. And his resume doesn't include a lot of wealth, a lot of cool stuff, or anything like that. It includes being shipwrecked, being whipped, being beaten, in danger from robbers, in danger from bandits, as he puts it. He lived a tough life according to our standards. And yet you want to see a guy who understood that what he had to gain was better than what he had here? In Philippians chapter 1, Paul made the statement, for me, to live is Christ, but to die is gain. For what he had to gain when he left this earth was far better than what he had while he was here. He couldn't wait to get home. He understood that to live on this earth as a missionary, there would be fruitful labor for him. He could continue on serving God, glorifying God, and leading people, sharing of the gospel that he'd received. But he knew that heaven was going to be better. For you, is your life a vacation or is it a mission trip? Jesus is inviting you this morning to hear His word. And rather than treating your money and storing it up here on this earth, would you begin to invest it in the kingdom of God? Would you walk away from a life where Scripture would tell you that Satan is trying to steal, kill, and destroy you? And would you begin to walk in the light of an abundant life in Jesus Christ? Or let me just be clear. Jesus is not saying that money is a bad thing. Money kind of makes our world go round. Money is what kept the lights on, as Billy said. Money is an important thing. The question is, are you enslaved to it or is it enslaved to you? Jesus, as Randy Alcorn would say, he estimates about 15% of all the words that Jesus used were spent talking about money. This is one of the greatest snares, both in the time of Jesus and today, that Satan can use to entrap you, to keep your heart from being focused fully and invested fully in the kingdom of God. It's money, it's possessions, it's wealth, it's stuff. It's keeping up with what everyone else has around us. It can keep you from living the abundant life. So this morning, I just encourage you to hear the warning of Jesus Christ. Rather than living your life like a vacation, would you live it like a mission trip? To be honest with you, I love both of those trips that I went on. One was very edifying to me, very relaxing. One was very kind of taxing. And from one, I bring a whole lot of colorful and enjoyable memories, you know, that kind of seem neat for a time. And the other, I bring a lot of heartache, a lot of pain. Just one quick thing. From my Haiti trip, one of the toughest things I had to see when I was there would be a little girl that was brought onto our bus who her aunt had her. She'd taken her from her mother who'd been abusing her. And this little girl was one of the first kind of infants that I'd seen there, you know, and I have a little girl of my own. And I thought, oh, wow, this is one of the, you know, a young baby, and she's maybe 3 or 4 months old. And I'm looking at her, and one of her eyes is just barely open. The other's, you know, a little wider, and you could tell she was really sick. And I talked to the nurse practitioner that was working with this little girl. And I was saying, oh, yeah, this is, you know, like, how old is she or whatever? The girl was a year old. But it lived for so long, kind of being malnourished and mistreated, that she was just absolutely, she was smaller than my 8-month-old daughter. I was just blown away. That's some of the heartache that I took away from my Haiti trip. But even when you compare the enjoyment that I had when I was in Puerto Vallarta and some of the heartache that I experienced in Haiti, I was far more rewarded for going to Haiti than I was Puerto Vallarta. My life was much more touched by spending time serving people. My life was much richer spent serving people in Haiti than it was sitting on the beach in Puerto Vallarta. So this morning, we're not going to have a big, long invitation. We're not going to, you know, ask you to come down here and pray and all those things. But I would just ask you to evaluate in your own heart, in your own life. Are you living your life in the kingdom of God? Or is it just kind of being earthly? Is your life a vacation or is it a mission trip? Let's pray.